today we're going to be talking about marriage. And what a wonderful joy, what a wonderful privilege it is to be loved and to love in marriage. In physics, and I can tell you, I don't know much about physics. However, there is a law in physics that's called the law of entropy. And that law says that all systems left unattended will surely run down. Now, as I've said, to be sure, I don't know a lot about physics. But I can tell you this, I do find in the hundreds and hundreds of couples with whom I have worked, this principle is certainly true. Marriages will not become better and better on their own. Two people who love each other, two people who seem to be very compatible and seemingly get off to a very good start in their marriage, will not, please underline that, will not automatically grow closer as the years roll by. Marriages left to their own devices will wear out. Marriages just left to their own devices will drift apart, will grow stale, and unfortunately, many times, slowly but surely will disintegrate. That's why it's important for us to really determine to work on our marriage, to make investments in our marriage, to really have a goal to make our marriage fresh and vibrant and exciting. Now, I can tell you, as the years roll by, physically you may not have as much energy, but there is nothing as wonderful as growing older together as a couple. There is nothing as wonderful as a marriage that is enjoying the end result of great blessings and of growing more vibrant and of growing closer and of growing into a very special relationship because the husband and wife have made that commitment that they are not going to let their marriage drift apart. They are not going to let their marriage grow stale. They are not going to take each other for granted. What a wonderful joy it is to be working on our marriage. The theme of this workshop, bless your hearts, the theme title is longer almost than the workshop. But the theme is actually the top 10 really smart things that wise couples still do. I couldn't even fit the whole title on the CD or on the audio cassette, but the real theme would be the top 10 things, the really smart things that wise couples still do. Let's open our Bible and go to God's Word, because none of this will be my opinion. As a matter of fact, none of this really is my workshop. It is all based upon Scripture and what precious couples have said to me over the years that they believe are some of the contributing factors of their really good marriage. Let's go to God's Word and then I'll explain that statement. The Lord Jesus made an interesting statement indeed in John chapter 13 and verse 17. Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Now you'll remember in John chapter 1 through John chapter 12, we have Christ's public ministry. In John chapter 13 through John chapter 18, we have Christ's public, private ministry. John 1 through 12, his public ministry. 13 through 18, his private ministry, where he really speaks from his heart in an intimate, private way with his disciples. And then, of course, in John chapter 19, he goes to the cross. John chapter 20, he rises victoriously. And in John chapter 21, he meets with his disciples. He gives Peter another opportunity to tell of his love, and he sends them forth. But we're now in that early discussion, that early conversation in the private ministry with the Lord Jesus. And he talks to them about remembering the things that they know to be true and therefore act on them. Those things that we really know, act on them. Because he said in John chapter 13 and verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If we know something to be true and act on it, therefore, we will be blessed. We will be happy. But there's another lesson in this, and that simply stated is, some things that we know to be true, we do not act upon, and we miss the blessing. Probably in this workshop, friends, there will be nothing that you will hear that will be brand new to you. You probably have heard all of these things many times before. Well, since you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I have over the years collected tidbits of wisdom from couples that are happily married. I'm not saying that their marriage is perfect. There are no perfect marriages. We all make mistakes. We all sin at times. And we all need to keep working on our marriage. But overall, I've collected tidbits of wisdom from couples whose marriages are strong and marriages are growing. Some of these marriages are 15 years. Some of these marriages are 25 years. Some of these marriages are 50 years. I've even had the opportunity of talking to some folks who have been married for nearly 70 years. And I love to ask them, what are the contributing factors to your loving and successful marriage? So I have taken what they have told me and set it in the top 10 things that will make a wonderful marriage. So we want to spend a few moments today on the top 10 really smart things that wise couples still do. Let's start at number 10 and work our way down to number 1. And I just pray that the Lord will take these few simple thoughts and really bless your marriage. Happy are ye if you do them. Number 10, we talk to each other graciously. Number 10, we talk to each other graciously. There are two key wonderful truths into this. First of all, we talk to each other. That's a good starting point. But we not only talk to each other, we talk to each other graciously. I'm going to Proverbs chapter 10 today because in Proverbs chapter 10, the writer of Proverbs gives us some wonderful pointers on how to talk appropriately or how the wise believer will speak. And I want you to notice a couple of these wonderful things. First, we speak in a wholesome manner. We speak in a wholesome manner. Proverbs 10 and verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. It gives the idea of a barren, parched, dry, thirsty land and the joy and the life and the refreshment that comes from that well. The way I talk in my home must be as a well of life. Secondly, I need to speak wisely and carefully. Verse 13 says, the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Wisdom is found. I need to speak wisely. I need to speak carefully. My lips need to be lips of understanding. Thirdly, they need to be controlled. My words need to be controlled. And my words need to be refrained. Verse 19 says, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Fourthly, my words need to be as choice silver. Verse 20 says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth. And then lastly, my words need to be acceptable. My words need to be acceptable. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness or perverseness. Friends, the first thing, and we're starting at number 10 and working our way down to number 1. The first thing I want to mention to us, a really smart thing that wise couples still do, is that they talk with each other and they talk graciously to each other. I just want to really, really encourage us to talk, especially men. How important it is for men to be a good listener and a good responder, to enter into conversation with their wife. I can tell you, men, your wife wants you to talk, and your wife wants you to be gracious. And ladies, your husband wants you to talk, but he wants your words to be gracious. Let's go to number 9. Number 9, wise couples still, number 9, seek God's will earnestly. Wise couples still seek God's will earnestly. Psalm 143 and verse 10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. This word teach is the word lamad, and it literally gives the idea of a training institute. Bring me, Lord, to your training institute. And the psalmist, interestingly, David prays, teach me to do your will, because it doesn't come automatically to us. Sin comes automatically. Failure comes automatically. But to do God's will is a decision of our heart, and it's a longing that he wants to develop in our life. Wise couples still seek the Lord's will. They seek the Lord's will for their home. They seek the Lord's will for their finances. They seek the Lord's will for their service. They seek the Lord's will for their vocation. They seek the Lord's will for their children. They seek the Lord's will for their church. They seek the Lord's will for their personal lives. They seek the Lord's will for their marriage. I can tell you, there's no greater joy than for a couple to know they are solidly, squarely, totally within the will of God. And that doesn't mean that they're going to live perfectly. That just means that they have come to the place that for now, they have discovered what God wants them to be doing, and by his grace and by his strength, they are doing his will. I truly believe that it is God's will for us to know his will. One of my dear friends, now home with the Lord, a former Empire State representative of the Empire State Fellowship, Russell Camp, often would say, there is no improvement on the will of God. And the number 9 thing that wise couples still do is to seek God's will earnestly. Well, let's come to number 8. The 8th thing that really wise couples still do is they treat each other thoughtfully. They treat each other thoughtfully. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 speaks about marriage. And in Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, the Lord Jesus says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The Lord Jesus said that it is in his plan and in his design that husbands and wives would be one flesh. That is not only a wonderful privilege within marriage, but it's also a wonderful goal. It is that we are becoming closer together. We are growing in intimacy. We are growing in closeness. We are growing in our bond. We are growing in being close with each other. And that comes by treating each other thoughtfully. I'll tell you, when we treat each other thoughtfully, it's like making deposits in our marriage bank. We want to build up that marriage account. We want that marriage account to be wealthy, loaded, and flourishing. When we treat each other in a way that is not thoughtful, then we are making withdrawals. And I'll tell you, sometimes couples have treated each other so poorly and so thoughtlessly that they have overdrawn on their account and they're nearing bankruptcy in their marriage. Oh, couples, I want to encourage you to really seriously consider this, that this one flesh is not just the sexual relationship, although that is part of it, but it is a growing intimacy, a growing relationship, a growing bond shared with no one else. And the way that we enhance that is to treat each other thoughtfully. Let's come to number seven. Number seven, the seventh thing that really smart couples still do, really wise couples still do, number seven, they forgive hurts quickly. They forgive hurts quickly. They resolve hurts. They forgive hurts. They don't build grudges. They don't hold hurts over one another to throw it up in the face of a loved one at a later time. They forgive hurts quickly. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32 for this principle. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's the key to it. When I consider how God, for the sake of his Son, the Lord Jesus, how God has forgiven me, how many times God has forgiven me, how many times God has forgiven me for the exact same sin and offense, then I need to forgive one another. And when I remember how God has forgiven me, it surely helps me to forgive one another. So how is it? Are you sensitive to the offenses that you have rendered against your loved one? Then ask for forgiveness. Make it right. Don't clam up. Don't excuse it. Don't ignore it. If you have done something to hurt your loved one, go to your loved one. Make it right. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for help and understanding in how to do better. But ask to be forgiven. And then, if you are the offended mate, if you are the one that has been hurt, first of all, be sure that you really don't have some part in this, that you also need forgiveness to be extended. But if you are the offended party, forgive that person. Think of how the Lord Jesus has forgiven you. Now, I need to stop right now as a counselor and to just put a little qualification in this. If you are in a marriage that is physically dangerous, if your mate has physically assaulted you, or if your mate has done something to endanger your life, you still can get rid of the grudges and give the hurts to the Lord. But I am not saying to continually enter into that home where you are in danger. If you really are in significant danger, emotionally or physically, then you need to get to safety. This is not a point of forgiveness. This is a point of safety. And I want to be very careful because I'm not sure who all would be listening to this workshop and who all would be listening to the tapes or to the cassettes. It may be that you are in a physically or emotionally extremely dangerous marriage. You need to get to a place of safety. I am not talking about forgiveness in that. You still can give the grudges and the bitterness and the hurt to the Lord. But I am not saying to stay in a dangerous place. However, in the typical offenses that come along in any marriage, the little acts of thoughtlessness or the offenses that come along with living so close to someone, the typical offenses, we need to learn how to forgive quickly and not to always bring it up. Number six, the sixth thing that really wise couples still do, number six, they model their biblical roles consistently. They model their biblical roles consistently. Let me just take a few moments to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and starting at verse 21. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The roles that are to be modeled would be the wife and the husband modeling the roles of the church and the Lord Jesus. Now think about that. The wife is commanded to treat her husband as the church should be treating and respecting the Lord Jesus. And the husband is to treat his wife as the Lord Jesus treats his church. Wow. That is quite a precious responsibility. Wives are to treat their husbands as the church should be respectfully treating the Lord Jesus. And the husband is to love his wife and treat her in such a precious, caring way as does the Lord Jesus. The purpose of all this is to model the church and Christ. And the resulting blessing will be just a beautiful resulting product, that marriages as they grow older will grow sweeter, that marriages as they grow older will grow closer, that marriages as they grow older will really grow better. This brings us to number five. The fifth thing that really wise couples still do would be that they pray together regularly. They pray together regularly. Peter makes a very interesting statement in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. He's talking about homes and families in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. He speaks to the husbands in verse 7 and says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Men, specifically, the Bible says that we are to honor our wives in such a way that our prayers will not be hindered. I think it's very important for couples to pray individually, but for couples to pray together. Many have found that the very last thing that they do at night after turning off the light is a precious time of being able to talk to the Lord together as a couple and to say goodnight to the Lord and to thank Him for staying wide awake as they go to sleep. Whenever it works well for you, maybe there are several times a day that you as a couple can pray. Maybe there is one time a day that you can pray. But it is so important. Wise couples pray together regularly. Let's come to number four. Wise couples, if they have children, view their children thankfully. Wise couples, if they have children, view their children thankfully. I'm going to Psalm 127. And the Bible says in verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." The quiver was the pouch that the hunter would carry around his shoulder, holding his arrows. A happy hunter has a quiver full of arrows. And as the happy hunter and his quiver of arrows, so the Bible says, happy is the man that hath a quiver full of children. Now, I certainly can't tell you how many children make a quiver full for you. There are some couples I have met that one is a full quiver. There are other couples that I have met that have many other children. If God has blessed your life with children, you need to view them thankfully. Parenting is difficult. It's tiring. It's exhausting. Sometimes parenting does not bring much appreciation at the time. Sometimes our children can make us feel like the biggest failures in the world. But after all is said and done, we need to be careful to view our children thankfully. They are a gift that comes from God. This brings us to number three. Number three, we need to affirm our devotion tenderly. We need to affirm our devotion to each other tenderly. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 20 talk about being very devoted to each other. And especially from the man's point of view, being very careful never to do anything to break the trust of his wife. Proverbs 5, beginning at verse 15, "Drink waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? We need to affirm our devotion tenderly. That means that we need to live in such a way that we can be trusted, that our mates will not doubt our integrity, that our mates will never question our loyalty, that they will never have reason to doubt the commitment to that marriage vow. For better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, cleave unto my mate as long as life shall last. That is a promise you made, but even deeper, that is a covenant into which you have entered. You need to, in every way, confirm this devotion in a tender way. Be careful how you fool. Never, ever flirt. Never, ever fantasize what it would be like to be with someone else. Safeguard yourself. Protect your marriage. Confirm and affirm your devotion tenderly. This brings us to number two, and that is serve the Lord gladly. Together as a couple, serve the Lord gladly. Psalm 100 is a delightful psalm. Psalm 100 in verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. It's not that we serve the Lord because we have been nagged into it. It's not that we serve the Lord because the pastor has laid guilt on us. It's not that we serve the Lord because nobody else around here will do it. Maybe sometimes those are the reasons that we have served. But the highest reason, the best reason, and the most blessed reason we serve the Lord is because He loves us so. And He's done so much for us that we then serve Him with gladness. Whenever possible, I really enjoy and I really encourage couples to serve the Lord together, to find ministries where they can serve as a couple and where they can do it together, I think is a wonderful thing. Now, I understand that there are ministries that men just may naturally do because they're a man, and there are ministries that ladies just naturally do because they're ladies and we do them separately, and that's fine. But I just want to encourage you to develop within your marriage a sense of we're going to serve the Lord with gladness. Joshua, at the end of his old life, called the nation of Israel together. Joshua knew he was going to be leaving them. And Joshua said to the nation, you need to decide just exactly which God you're going to serve. And then he lists several of the false gods that a person could foolishly decide to serve. But I love what Joshua says. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a great theme for every single couple here today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then, number one. This brings us to number one. Here is the number one thing that wise couples still do. They love each other totally. They love each other totally. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 16 says, My beloved is mine, and I am his. The one in whom my love finds its focus is totally mine. He has held back nothing from me. Nothing that will be wholesome. Nothing that will be kind. Nothing that will build me up has he withheld. He has totally loved me with a love and a concern that seeks my highest, my best, and my total well-being. And likewise, I have responded in kind where I have held nothing back from him that will be beneficial, helpful, suitable, wholesome, spiritual, wise, and gracious to him. I have given myself totally to him in love, and he has given himself totally to me in love. It's the number one thing I've heard from couples who really have long-term, successful, growing marriages. We've just learned how to really love each other. That love comes as a decision of our will. We decide to do it. And it is enhanced and grown as we invest in the other. As I make the decision that I am going to seek the well-being of my mate unconditionally, no strings attached, I find that my love really grows for her and becomes stronger and stronger as the years pass by. The top 10 really smart things that wise couples still do. Number 10, they talk to each other graciously. Number 9, they seek God's will earnestly. Number 8, they treat each other thoughtfully. Number 7, they forgive hurts quickly. Number 6, they model roles biblically. Number 5, they pray together regularly. Number 4, they view their children thankfully. Number 3, they affirm their devotion tenderly. Number 2, they serve the Lord gladly. And number 1, they love each other totally. Now it will be interesting in your home and in your family to see how God has brought you together. I want you to think back over the years before you met your mate and to think of the different times that the Lord specifically directed your steps at that one special moment when you met the person that would become your mate. Do you see how the Lord brought you to that point? Now, I realize that there are some couples that have made the poor choice of walking apart from the Lord and doing this on their own. But I want you to know that your marriage can be a wonderful marriage if you will do these 10 things. And if you were walking with the Lord and following his guidance, do you see how the Lord wonderfully brought you to your mate? And have you noticed how different your personalities are? Isn't it wonderful that the Lord has brought your mate to you with your mate's personality compared to yours? And do you daily seek to enhance these 10 things? May the Lord bless you and give you wisdom. And remember, since you know these things, happy are you if you'll do them.